I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Hailing from Melbourne, Australia, Caden Mulberry settled in Canada as he pursued his musician dreams in 2012. Initially part of a folk-inspired band, Mulberry branched off solo when he settled in Toronto in 2013. During a moment of experimentation and life-changing decisions, he started the DJ moniker Oriku in 2017. He has since expanded his efforts towards co-founding the record label Stereo Ferment. Today, Oriku discusses his music journey from Australia to Canada, the formative experiences of his DJ career, as well as his hopes for the post-pandemic future.
I kind of like came up with the name. It was like an evolution from another name that with a band that I originally came over to Canada to pursue from Australia, and so the band name was Regular Earth Kids, and it was kind of like a post-punky kind of Sonic Youthy Pixies sort of style band, and then we ended up breaking up, and then I went on to just like do more production, solo production stuff, and it was kind of like my like pet project to begin with. So I then just abbreviated the name to REK, and then an acronym or whatever. And then I just didn't like the sound of like the one syllable word. And then I just was playing around with vowels at the beginning and the end, and kind of it was just like a weird evolution. And then kind of looked up it, if there was anything relating to that name, and I couldn't really find anything except for this like one professor from Uganda, I think, who had the last name Oriku, and that was, and then I kind of looked into that, and then I saw that there was a parish in Uganda called Oriku, and it's kind of funny because the first music that I was really exposed to and taken aback by from Africa was Ugandan musician Jeffrey Oriema. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but it's like just really beautiful music. That was kind of like, so it was kind of like a full circle name for me, like, but also just kind of conjured out of the imagination, I guess.
He recalls a diverse set of music influences that led him to experiment with different sounds, genres, and cultures.
Yeah, so, I've just like always been into music since I would say like 12 at least. Like, I always wanted to play guitar since I was like 5, and then I didn't actually start playing guitar until I was like 12, and then that sort of progressed into getting into bands. I was more influenced by like grunge kind of stuff. I was like obsessed with Nirvana when I was a kid, and kind of went down that route, which then led me down a heavier route of like death metal and grindcore kind of stuff, and then that somehow kind of flipped into a love for hip-hop. So I've just like genre hopped my whole life, and like whatever it was, like I got like really intense into it for like a few years, and like we just kind of collected. So so once I got into the hip hop stuff, I moved from sort of being in high school kind of death metal bands to wanting to learn production to make like more hip hop style beats and whatnot, and I probably started some of that kind of around when I was like 19, 18, 19. And then basically from there, just like dabbled with it over the years. Like I kind of like was never really focused on one thing. And then I eventually got into DJing probably around 2007 maybe. Yeah, I think 2007. I'd started like just growing a really diverse music library, you know, like, and you know, at that point I was into like a lot of Afrobeat and like Cambodian psychedelic stuff and, you know, hip hop and house, and just kind of like wanted to fuse it all together. And then I ended up, so I was living above a bar, like in Melbourne, and it was like my local and where I lived and worked. So it was, and then there was like a little dungeon basement underneath, and I used to DJ with a buddy of mine who I was actually chatting with on Instagram earlier today. We had these nights, and we just like did back-to-back sessions and played what was ever in our CD wallets and record collection, and it was like kind of just like casual fun kind of stuff, you know, like it was just like Friday night, you know, sweaty little basement fun times. And I didn't kind of really consider it as like a full-on, like something that I wanted to like, you know, hardcore focus on. And at that point I'd been doing a lot of like freelance film work, so that was kind of like where my head was at. And so it was like through that that I did a bit of travel, like I did some documentary work in like East Timor just after they got independence, and a bit of stuff in Cambodia. So like it was always, you know, mixing sort of the travel with like my film work with my love for music, so like kind of finding cool interesting new sounds through my travels. And basically from there just kind of flipped back and forth between a million different career paths of, you know, like doing freelance film stuff to design to you know, like doing like kind of random music production for, you know, indie film soundtrack kind of stuff. And it all just kind of amalgamated into like the label that I have today that I launched during the pandemic. But fast forward 2000, and that was probably around between like 2007 to 2009 was like the DJing in the basement. And then I moved to Paris for a year, and I got into I was doing like some production. I did like a hip hop album with a friend back in Australia around that time, like 2010. And that was like my first production release. And then I moved back to Australia, and I met a Canadian. And at that point I was getting into like a lot of like alternative country kind of stuff. Like, you know, it was just kind of a new genre for me that, like, you know, I just kind of get excited by new sounds all the time. And so, you know, I got like obsessed with that. And me and this woman, Sarah, we started this little duo called Regular Earth Kids.
A chance encounter with a Canadian led to a new collaboration opportunity that led Orikku to relocate to Canada from Australia permanently.
And it was kind of like a, you know, like dark country kind of murder ballad kind of, you know, style, style thing. And so like kind of like bluegrassy and like Nick Cavey, you know, and like a fusion of that kind of sound. And yeah, then we basically we recorded a little EP with that, and then she moved back to Canada, and I was just kind of left back in Australia, kind of just going, I don't know, what am I going to do? I think I, you know, I was like, I really enjoyed the project that we made, and so I was like, screw it, I'm going to move to Canada and just see what. I called her up. I was like, hey, do you want to like try to pursue this as a, you know, as a band and give it a shot? And she was down, and so she was based over in Salt Spring Island, off the west coast there. So I didn't really kind of know too much about Canada except like the Rockies and you know, the Blue Jays, and I didn't know anything about Toronto or anything like that. And so I flew into this like tiny island basically, and we formed a band out there, and we probably spent about a year out there. And then we thought, okay, let's give the band a shot, like, in, because, you know, it was like 10,000 people on the island, so it wasn't really kind of much going on. It was like really beautiful and a great place to just kind of jam and make music, but to try to have a shot with the band, it wasn't really a good setting. So yeah, we at that point it was like three of us, and we turned from this kind of old country sound into this more like psych post-punk sound, so it just kind of, you know, morphed into something completely different. And yeah, we quit all our jobs, bought a van, and we planned to just kind of like all move to Montreal on a whim. And we like did like a, you know, air quotes, tour across Canada. It wasn't a tour at all. We just kind of like played open mic bars and busked on the street kind of thing, and played a couple of random house parties. But yeah, we all lived in a van together for like three or four months, like just traveling across Canada. And we had like one gig booked in Toronto, and we ended up getting to Toronto and basically being completely out of money at that point. And like I didn't have like a dime to my name anymore. And so we were kind of like, okay, well, maybe we should just like see what we can pull off here and try and get jobs and save some money over the summer. Cause I think we arrived in like May of 2013.
After traveling with the band from Western to Central Canada, it's in Toronto where Orikku takes a chance and goes solo. The professional and personal decisions lead him back to DJing full-time.
And so yeah, we played a couple of gigs and we kind of looked around for work. We all got jobs. And then I also had started, like I'd met my now wife, like, and we were kind of just like hanging out, you know, kind of, you know, having a casual fling, so to speak. And then about a month and a half after being in Toronto, the rest of the band decided that they wanted to go back to the West Coast. And so I kind of was like, well, I felt like that was kind of bailing on the mission. And so I asked Liz, my partner, my now wife, I was like, you know, hey, band's thinking about going back, but I'm kind of curious to see what happens here. And so then I just ended up so I was like, do you mind putting me up for like just a couple of weeks while I, you know, find my footing and, you know, find a house and all that kind of stuff? Because we'd only probably known each other for like 3 weeks at that point. And so it was a gamble on her half. And I just got a job, like I'd only been working for like 2 days at this point. And she was like gracious enough to take me in. And then 7 years later, I'm still here and like we're married and, you know, like, and then that kind of like spurred on the next phase of the musical journey, which after the band broke up, it was like kind of a bit emotional because like we were really close and it was like a real, like we were living out of each other's pockets, you know. It was like a really tight bond, so it was kind of like a relationship breakup in its own right, you know. And so I was kind of a bit burnt out and jaded by, you know, the idea of like doing a band and investing emotionally in that kind of thing. And so then I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna do solo production. And then that kind of led getting back into DJing. And I was lucky enough to get a couple of monthly residencies at one at Farside Bar and one at Handlebar in Kensington. So yeah, one on the east side and one on the west, like downtown.
When the shows and gigs increased, he met his future business partner for the current record label, Stereo Ferment.
And that just kind of like led from one thing to another. And then I just started kind of putting out my own productions. And then that led to me getting booked at a little festival where I met Brad, my now label partner and DJ partner. He goes by Coy Haste, and also Picker Piper is like his other project. We started DJing together a whole bunch. And then basically the pandemic happened, and like I was gearing up for like a, you know, summer full of gigs and all this stuff. And then everything got shut down and I got laid off from my day job. And I was just like, I always kind of had this idea in the back of my head to kind of start a label, you know, it's just kind of like a random sort of idea. It's like, oh, that would be cool to do. And it just kind of was like, that seems like it could be a cool time to do that, you know? And so, yeah, I asked Brad, I was like, hey, do you want to try to do this thing with me? And, I just thought it was a good opportunity to kind of really hone all the skills I've developed over the years into like one central focus thing, you know, because I found myself always kind of being pulled into different directions, like, oh, I want to, you know, make music, and I want to do film, and I want to, you know, design, and this, that, and the other. And it was like always very fractured. And then I just kind of all suddenly clicked for me, and I was like, oh, the label, I can kind of put everything under one umbrella and like scratch my design itch and scratch my itch for like doing animation and making film and you know, and do music and kind of learn more about the music industry in depth and all that. And so, yeah, just kind of like a natural evolution in that regard.
He describes how since 2017, He has developed his own sound that he hopes to showcase both his inspirations and the intended vibe.
I would say, like, currently, so I adopted the Ariku moniker in 2017, early 2017, I think, maybe late 2016. And I was playing around with a few different sounds. Like, I did a little bit of kind of psychedelic cumbia and some sort of chill kind of Afro house inspired stuff. And then with the EP, I kind of, my debut EP, I ended up kind of doing a bit more of like a acid disco sort of inspired thing. And now, like, the thing is, like, I've got so many like little projects in the fire at one time, because I like get bored with like doing one particular sound at all the time. So, but I would say it's generally kind of going in more of a Balearic kind of dubby tropical kind of sound. There's definitely always kind of like a bit of like a tropical kind of twist to it, with lots of kind of percussion, like very percussion heavy, and basically like groovy bass lines and like polyrhythmic percussion and lots of like dubbed out effects is kind of what I like to go. But like, I like to try to make music for people to either dance or like nod their head to, you know, like either kind of like the build up, you know, like warming up for a dance session or like peak dance session. That's kind of what I kind of aim to do. Because basically, I would like to just keep making tunes to eventually play like completely original sets. So that's sort of, I basically go, I approach it like, oh, like whatever songs that like I play in my sets that aren't mine, I sort of try to emulate like my take on it, like how I would fill that gap with my own music, if that makes sense. It's like I'm inspired by so many different musics from around the world, like different traditional sounds and, you know, evolving sounds, you know, like it's not all old or new, but like through my travels, I've really been inspired by like music out of various parts of Southeast Asia, like particularly like Cambodia and Thailand and parts of Indonesia, parts of like kind of Central Africa, East and West. I mean, I haven't been to Africa yet, but like that was like, that's always kind of been a big mission of mine. But and, you know, and yeah, and like, you know, parts of you know, South America, you know, like the cumbia sounds. So basically, like, the mission of the label is to kind of represent those sounds. Like, I really want to work with artists from those places, collaborate with artists from those places, which we're kind of like building on. At the moment, it's all very kind of a localized pool, but we have like things in the works. But yeah, just kind of like, you know, I think there's a, you know, there's been a forever musical conversation through history of, you know, how sound gets from one place to another. You know, it's like, how, you know, the British invasion, you know, of like psych pop, British, you know, pop rock or whatever you want to call it, you know, emulating like the rhythm and blues from the States, and then that like coming back and influencing American pop musicians. And I mean, you could say the same thing for like, you know, like the Thai funk sound, you know, there's you know, I think a lot of that stuff was introduced by the pop sounds of the States and maybe like US military presence in particular in those times. And then, you know, they merged their traditional sounds with like the like those 60s kind of pop rock psych sounds of the time. And now you have it coming back to America and bands like Grubing, you know, like emulating a Thai sound, you know, from America. And it's like this like constant like kind of conversation of like music just kind of bouncing back and forth all over the globe. And I think that that's a really beautiful thing, and kind of want to be part of that, you know, and do it in like the right sort of respectful way, you know. That's kind of the, you know, to kind of acknowledge where the influences are coming from.
When the COVID-19 lockdowns erased all live performances, Oriku put more work into his record label, wanting to establish its image and network.
The label was definitely the way to navigate through it for me personally. I mean, I know a lot of DJs kind of got into the online streaming, like the Twitch streaming and stuff. And I may have gone down that route had I not, you know, kicked off the label so early. But once I decided to do the label, I just kind of went all in, and that just like took so much time because it was like kind of building the image, like, you know, the design of it, and then, you know, doing all the engineering, like mastering, and, you know, making all the connections, like radio connections, and, you know, to kind of like get it out there. So yeah, it just became super time consuming. So it was like a major savior for me. And then, you know, doing the odd mix I would put up on like SoundCloud, and eventually getting invited to do like feature mixes on like certain radio stations and stuff. But I mean, to be honest, like I know it was like a really tough time for a lot of people, and I kind of welcomed the downtime, because I just really enjoyed kind of being able to sink my teeth into like a passion project without like all the noise of life. So that's kind of what kept me sane and productive and whatnot. And, you know, I had ups and downs, you know. It's like got to certain points where I was like, you know, what's the point in all this, and, you know, and whatnot. But that's how I would say I navigated through it.
Moving forward, he intends to create new music and play it in front of live crowds again, as well as increase exposure and connections for the label.
With all the, like, I was probably getting a bit of anxiety with everything opening up, because it's just everything ramping back up, and I was kind of like happy in my cocoon for a while there, you know, like working from home. But like now I'm kind of feeling the buzz again, and I think the plan is to just kind of wait out like what, you know, like I'd love to sort of continue like my residencies, or, you know, like regular gigs, because they're just kind of fun for me, you know, like that's the essential joy, is like playing, you know, just, you know, finding new music and putting it out there, and, you know, just challenging myself as a DJ and listener. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting back into that whenever that's kind of possible. In terms of like the label, we have, like, it's the response has been like really positive through all the kind of various radio stations around the world that we've like made connections with, and you know, DJs, because we essentially make music for DJs, but like, you know, other people get into it too, whatever. But all in all, like, we have probably almost a year worth of releases like back scheduled, backlogged. So like, just kind of rolling them out at a comfortable pace. It's been taken a while to kind of figure out the pacing of it, like, you know, balancing it with like just a day job and, you know, like just the general work-life balance. And then, like, I guess that's what was making me anxious about things opening back up, because I was like, oh my God, how am I going to balance social life and like the label and like gigs and work? And it was just like that extra thing in a mix, extra wrench in the works, so to speak. But yeah, I would say that just keep releasing. I'd like to eventually collaborate with other crews to like put on some like larger events and bring in some like international artists. And we've got a few projects and works with some other international artists, a traditional instrumentalist from Taiwan, and some producers from Mexico doing some kind of more electronic cumbia kind of stuff, and then some other local. Most of the stuff that we've been working with has been local, but got a couple of fingers in the pies, like, you know, some Turkish stuff that and obviously like things fall through and, you know, get rescheduled and whatnot. And then on top of that, just like probably try to expand our services for like other independent musicians. So like, you know, offer to, you know, do their kind of promotion and stuff is kind of a bit of a plan, because like I feel like I've been learning and getting a really good knack for like release campaigns and, you know, all the kind of nitty gritty stuff that is like really difficult to navigate sometimes.
Oriku is hopeful the vibrancy of Toronto's music and nightlife will return once restrictions loosened and crowds can congregate safely.
Well, we have an upcoming release that we're right in the middle of launching at the moment, which is our fifth release, by local producer Mark PM, and it's his debut EP titled Inversions, and it's kind of like a really like kind of raw lo-fi dank kind of beats style production, I guess. I'm excited for things to open back up, particularly in Toronto, because I feel like over the course of like the lockdown and pandemic, like a lot of interesting things have kind of sprouted up in the local arts community. And, you know, I've managed to make links with, you know, other crews that are kind of doing stuff that really excites me. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with like the Ultra Mag crew, but like they kind of like launched almost around the same time that we launched the label, and so we've kind of built like a really nice dialogue with each other. And there's been a whole bunch of labels that have actually like popped up, which is kind of cool, and like people creating like events, crews that haven't really even thrown a party yet but are like keen to. So I think that I guess my final thoughts, or like my hope, what I'm excited about is the possibility of Toronto kind of entering a bit of a renaissance of, like, you know, just fun and really happening kind of like nightlife, and you know, just kind of shaking it up from what it was, you know, because I feel like before it like it wasn't that, like, there wasn't stuff to do, but I just feel like people might be like start trying to push the envelope a bit more, you know, like be less complacent, because, you know, once you know what you've like got to lose, you know, you cherish it a bit more. And I think, like, I'm hoping that there's more people to come in and cherish what we have here, and, like, you know, evolve it further.
The songs for this episode are Honeybee and KB Lie Acid by Oriku, and Patchy Weather by Regular Earth Kids. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.